It's Friday, June 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcasts.com. Hey everyone, it's iPhone release date, and the mania is in full swing, but I got a great show for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? Thank goodness it's Friday. My. Well, at least for you it's Friday. For me it's still Thursday night. And it's actually very, very early. I'm looking out the window here. It's daylight, and there's a reason it's daylight. I'm wanting to get home tonight, get the show done early so that I could load up some gear and go downtown to the local Apple store and actually bring a little bit of Ustream.tv action, see what's going on down there. We're going to see who's all standing in line, who's going to stay overnight, going to take a camera, going to have a little fun. I'm going to take my young daughter, Natalie, with me. She's all excited about going down there. I said, you know, by the time we get down there, the store might be closed. So it's not like you're going to be able to go in and buy something. Now, they might be open tonight. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be, though. But we're going to go down there and see what's going on. Anyway, how's everyone? Had a great week here. And hasn't been as productive as last week, but still been a good week. It's kind of a funny week, really, because, you know, everyone's getting ready next week for the 4th of July. And, of course, where I work at this week, they got this big thing going on. It's called Bayfest. And they got a bunch of bands coming in. So where I work, it's been all hubbub getting ready for that this week. And so it's been kind of a bit of a distractor. But been a good week. Otherwise, productivity for us over at Raw Voice. We've had a lot of things going on. And I'm real happy with the progress that Angelo's made over there on a lot of code changes. We're going to be releasing something really cool tomorrow for all podcasters to put on their site. So make sure you get over to blueberry.com, check out the blog. We'll have some information up for you tomorrow on how to put something really cool up on your website. Now, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, I want to thank you for checking us out. Make sure you subscribe to the show. We're available on iTunes, so you can find us in there. Or if you can basically click on the Geek News Central, go to geeknewscentral.com and click on the iTunes link on the website. And if you have iTunes loaded up, that'll automatically load the subscription into your system, and you'll be able to subscribe to the show. Of course, if you're a long-term subscriber, I want to thank all of you that are part of the Ohana here. For continuing to stay subscribed to the show and participating in our summer of giveaways. And got some cool prize to give away tonight as well. We're going to give away another $50 gift certificate, and one of our voicemail callers is going to win that tonight. So look forward to giving that away. Well, boy, talk about a very eventful weekend. I have my daughter's birthdays coming up this weekend. We're actually going to go stay at downtown in Waikiki for that. We're going to stay overnight in a hotel. That was a big deal she wanted to do. So I actually cashed in some Hilton reward points that I had. And we've got one night in Waikiki. And then Sunday I come home and I've got a friend's party to go to, a birthday party. But Sunday about 6 p.m. Honolulu time, the site at podcastawards.com the switch is going to be flipped. And nominations will be open for the next 15 days. Now, what I want all of you to do, this is important here, if you have a show that you listen to on a regular basis and you really like the podcast, you need to send them an email and remind them that the awards is starting on July 1st. Encourage them to put a banner up on their website. All they have to do is click on the graphic links on the website at podcastawards.com. Plenty of opportunities to get some huge free advertising over there. Great opportunity for shows to get some exposure. We're fully expecting that server at midnight just to go haywire. And that's what's happened the last 2 years. So we're ready for it? We'll see. We'll see how the server handles the load. We're actually going to be watching it very close. Actually, my the guy that handles the site maintenance for me, he's actually going to be watching the server. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that the box doesn't melt in its spot. But it should be a good 15 days. And, of course, I'll update you Monday night on how things are going on over there. Now, back up a little bit. On Saturday morning, before we load up to go to the hotel for the night, we're actually doing a tech podcast roundtable. So if you are on the East Coast at 4 p.m. on Saturday, definitely come over to techpodcast.com. Click on the blog link, and you'll see some links in there to show you how to actually participate in the show. You'll be able to listen to the audio via TalkShoe, either streamed or you can dial in and participate and ask questions. And also you can see the live interactive part with GoToMeeting. So we want to thank GoToMeeting for being the sponsor for the roundtable, of course. And I think what you're going to be able to see with us using GoToMeeting is how well we're able to demonstrate the applications. Now, Andy McCaskey and I, we've got a couple of great applications that we're going to be showing you. We're going to be opening the floor up and letting people talk and discuss things as well. So we're going to have an open tech session. So we should have a fun hour. Excuse me. Along with that, I've got a new member of the Tech Podcast Network that's going to be making a presentation as well. So he's sending me his data tonight. So I don't even know what the topic is. It's a secret. So I'm expecting it to be good, but we'll keep you informed, and we'll have an email blast going out to everyone that's on the mailing list for that as well. But 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, lasts about an hour. Don't worry if you don't catch it during the actual event. You'll be able to see the video, well, probably be a couple days after the event because of all the things I've got going on this weekend. So the main thing is, if you get a chance, definitely check out GoToMeeting. You know, it's the best way to have an online meeting or share and collaborate. And you can get a free 30-day trial yourself by just going to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Now, one thing I did today is I went shopping around. You know, the bad thing about living in Hawaii is sometimes your tech choices are semi-limited. We have a Best Buy. We have a CompUSA. We have a couple of companies that build high-end gaming and video systems, but otherwise, that's about it when it comes to finding a wide selection of tech stuff. And I went looking for an ultra-mobile PC today and just did not have any luck. And plus, the price tag on some of those units, I might as well just bought a high-end laptop because that's what they were, $18,000, $19,000, $2,000. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to find me a junk laptop. I'm going to buy the cheapest laptop I can find, hopefully one that's already had an open box, and just use that for now, because what I have on my desk is a desktop replacement laptop, and it lasts about 55 minutes on batteries if I'm lucky. So I'm going to get a laptop that's smaller that will fit in a backpack, and I won't have to worry about banging around or anything. And be using that as a live streamer. Now, tonight, I'm just going to take, of course, I'm going over to the Mac store, so I'm going to take the MacBook Pro, and I'll just I'll shoot from that, and have my high-def camera with me as well to do some interviews. But look forward to playing around up at the Apple store after this, and it should be fun. So you never know what's going to happen on MyLifeOnline.tv. Normally, it's me sitting in your office being boring, but anyway, so a lot of events happening this weekend. Very, very busy. A lot of family stuff. A lot of podcasting stuff. It's going to be an exciting month, and look forward to having all of you tag along for that, for all these events. Okay, what else have I got? Hey, of course, if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99 plus world class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Domain names from GoDaddy are up to 70% less than the competition. Plus, the best thing is, when you get to the checkout counter, enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10%. Now, Geek5 is another one you can use to save 15% off your order of $20 or more. Of course, you can use Pod58. Now, we've got some other secret ones, too. You can play around with Geek, ComSale, Aloha, Central. I'll say that again, Geek, ComSail Aloha Central. You can always find the actual codes on my link blog as well, so check that out. All right, what have I got for you tonight? Well, I got quite a bit. Let me get the feed aggregator loaded here. And where am I at? Am I actually at the end of the articles tonight? I did not go all the way back and was not ready for you here, but I am just about there. Okay. How many of you have been using Twitter? I've been playing around with Twitter, and I, you know, kind of got the Twitter bug a little bit, and I actually Twitter through Skype. That's the best way to really do it. I don't, the instant message doesn't work, and I don't like sitting on a web page all day. But Dave Weiner has been digging around into Twitter, and he's tapped into their API, and he's done something really, really cool. He's created a way to be able to do what's called a Twittergram. And it's essentially, it's about a 30-second audio piece. And I've always thought this would be a good idea. For example, I always thought that if you could go to my website at geeknewscentral.com and click on a button, and actually if you have a microphone on your PC or if you've got a headset on, it'd give you the opportunity to leave me a comment on my blog. Now, I never liked using any of these third, you know, there's services that are out there you can put little widgets on, but I never really liked how they completely work because it was always tied back to a service. Well, what the Twittergram allows us to do is, and if he gets this thing built exactly right, what I'm going to be able to do is I'm going to be able to put a Twitter, create a Twitter account and have that tied to an application that will go on the blog. And you'll be able to go to the blog and you'll be able to leave a comment on something on the website, an audio comment. And then we would drop that into the Twitter stream, which you can tap an RSS feed off of. And we could have a audience comment system through this Twittergram thing. Dave is, you know, he's really ahead when it comes to thinking about cool stuff like this. And there's a lot of possibilities with this. And what the best thing is as long as Dave continues to support it and it gets built out, it allows podcasters to maintain their brand. It allows them to implement a cool commenting system on their sites, while at the same time not giving up, you know, all this space on a page to some third-party application that is going to essentially, you know, drive people away from your site. So once I get this up, once I get the flash recorder built and this tied in, we'll be playing around a lot more with that. But a link, a comment that Doug Kay made up, and he really, really hit the nail on the head about this. And you know, Twitter is really all about trivia stuff. And many times, if you guys hear something, you know, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll get Skypes or somebody will instant message me and say, hey, Todd, did you see this? They'll send me a link. Well, that's basically what that is trivia knowledge and trivia information that many times I'll collect for the show and I'll put up in listener links or, you know, it may actually be put up in the content during the actual recording. So I think this is really going to expand that because you'll be able to call in and kind of have like a, hey, Todd, I saw this, and do you think this is cool? Or make a comment on a blog post and instead of having to sit there and type away because, you know, the connection that we all have here on this show is really a personal connection. When I'm, you know, you're all part of my family here, and when I'm talking to you, I am, you know, in my mind, I envision you're sitting across from me as individuals, and we're, you know, unfortunately, it's a one-way conversation, but by you providing email and voicemail commentary back to the show, we have this, you know, this commentary and this open relationship and in this engagement, I guess. And I think that's the important thing. And I think Twitter is about trivia information, but it's also about engaging in one with one another. So I look forward to seeing where this is going. Google really did a cool thing. They allowed you to now draw. Let's say when you go to Google Maps and you do a, you make directions for like, say, going from, let me use an example here because Honolulu is not good. Well, yeah, let's say you're going to go from my house here in Fort Island over to Kaneohe Bay, where I work on the opposite side of the island. Well, there's about three ways you can go. One that's really the shortest way, and two other alternate routes that you could take. Well, Google is going to try to find me the shortest route from my house to where I work. But what you can do with the search results that they come up now is now you can drag the blue line that Google puts up to change your route. Now, this works out really, really good because the example they show on here is, okay, start at San Francisco and you go down to San Jose. But let's say you wanted to stop on your way through at Half Moon Bay. Well, really, you know, how are you going to get there? Well, drag your little thing over there and it's going to give you an alternate route to get to Half Moon Bay. Really brilliant. Good idea by the Google folks. And this is one that I'm definitely going to use a lot, especially in the mainland, and you'll be able to, you know, essentially pull out multiple stops, and it'll help you. And the best thing is, gives you directions. You'll be able to print that out, and I'm sure many of you use a mapping system and print it out just to have the directions so that you'll know which specific major highways to go on. You know, some of them are ridiculous. Turn, go 50 feet, turn right. Go left, you know, go 100 feet, turn, you know. For those of us that don't have GPS in our cars, this thing works out awesome. So, I have a link up in the show notes for you where it's just a sample of, and you guys can play around with the little blue notes as well. Okay, next up today is a new site that's come on the scene called Pounce. It's at pounce.com. And when I first, and I don't have an invite to it yet, so if anybody's got a Pounce invite, please send me one, geeknews@gmail.com. But I've been reading all the reviews and watching people talk about this, and this is essentially a mismatch of existing services. It has a Twitter-type functionality, has a regular chat functionality. It allows you to do file sharing, and it does a whole bunch. It does those three things under one umbrella, and there was some write-ups about it in TechCrunch and over at Mashable, and actually some people said it looks pretty good. And then there's some other people said that, well, this thing really wouldn't get no hype if it wasn't related to Kevin Rose. And I guess it's one of Kevin Rose's ventures. He's the one that's behind this, the latest startup. But there's been several favorable reviews on this actual application. So if you are actually website, so if you get a chance, go over and check out Pounce at pounce.com. And let me know what you think about it. If you get an invite, hopefully they open it up soon. I'm sure they're trying to prevent what happened with Twitter and the amount of traffic they got, and they got crushed. But anyway, it's looks like it'd be have some. And what's cool about it is, and the thing I do like about it is that you can share files with people that are in your group. In other words, those that you have made friends with, or however they work at there. I'm sure it's a social type of site as well. Social networking sites are they're a dime a dozen these days. You know, everyone's trying to get in the action. But Pounce, that's the newest and latest and greatest. All right, great article over on PRB. It's the Population Reference Bureau, and they asked the question: how many people have ever lived on Earth? Well, that's a pretty tall order to be able to figure out. And if they go back and they talk about, well, do we count prehistoric? And how do we actually figure out what the number was? Okay, here's what they were projecting. They said in 50,000 BC, there was a population of 2. In 1 AD, that had grown all the way to 300 million. By 1750, we're up to 795 million. By 1850, the planet had increased to 1.265 billion. And now in 2002, they're thinking that we are at 6.215 billion people on the planet. I think the thing that is kind of curious here is that the births per 1,000 has dropped, whereas in 1850, there would have been 40 births per 1,000, but in 2002 there was 23. So it is kind of interesting how they've figured out these statistics. I just happened upon it and thought you guys might be interested as well. All right, there's a great article over on badastronomy.com, and it said, is the sun from another galaxy? And, you know, there's, I don't know where this guy got asked this question, but he goes into a pretty interesting, in-depth article on why our sun is, you know, didn't come from somewhere else, for a better word. So if you're into science, this guy, you know, add this to your permanent read list. I have him on my permanent read list. This guy comes up with some good stuff, and very, very intelligent when it comes to astronomy and space and science, and talking about heavy metals and even bringing out the weird stuff that's involved with stuff that goes on in space. So check this out over at badastronomy.com. All right. For some reason, this week was the week of finding very interesting airline stuff, and found two airline complaints for you. And I want to kind of point out the first one was a complaint that was made in 2004. And I just want to show you the diversity here of complaints. And this one was a guy had written out a complaint. And then in 2007, the recent complaint was a guy that was sitting on a Delta Airlines ramp for 7 hours. And he videotaped it and put it up on YouTube. And I think when you see the YouTube video, you'll be very thankful that you were never, ever on the on that plane. Now, the one complaint I'm a little concerned, maybe I should not link this up in the show notes because I'm looking at the top of this, and let me reload this page and see if it's actually going to bring up the same ad. Yeah, I won't be able to link up the actual first complaint that was actually written and submitted to Delta because they've got porn material at the top of the page for some reason for an advertisement. I don't know why that guy did that. All right, the MPAA has sued Peak Video and UTVPC. And part of this boils down to is these guys had set up a website to allow people to essentially circumvent any type of cable subscription type stuff. So if you wanted to watch an HBO show, you could get it through this UTVPC or Peak Vid, and they were had huge amounts of traffic. And what they're undoing was that they had interviews with the Wall Street Journal that made national headlines, and the MPAA turned right around and filed a lawsuit against them on Tuesday, and they have essentially stating here that Peak Vid is drawing more than 53,000 unique visitors a day, and UTVPC pulls in another 6,000, and they're trying to get these sites shut down, and they're going to go after damage for them for essentially misappropriating or how do they want to actually say it here? Prosper, they're calling it, businesses should not be allowed to prosper from illicit material, even if they do not host it. And these sites don't host it, but they make it available. So we'll see what happens with this particular article. All right, there's a new development that came out of the Supreme Court today, and I have not gotten too deep into this yet, but have you ever seen on a website where it says call for price? Reason sometimes you see that on a website is because the company is offering the product below manufacturer suggested retail, and the manufacturer was the company that, or in the agreement to sell that stuff, the manufacturer said, you will not post anything below, let's say, $19.95. And you call them up on the phone and you can get it for $16.95. Well, in a 5-4 decision today by the U.S. Supreme Court, they abandoned a 96-year-old ban on manufacturers and retailers setting price floors for products. Now, the Slashdot crew seems to think that this is going to hurt consumer-friendly aspects of the internet. And while I don't understand why it's going to do that, to me, this ban, and unless I'm interpreting this wrong, and hopefully that someone is up to speed on this more than I am, can look at this, but, excuse me, it means that now when someone has a complaint against someone for having a anti-competitive pricing, that they're going to have to go after those on a case-by-case basis, and they may be harder to prove. So discounts and discounters in all venues are probably going to be under pressure here, but I'm not fully understand. You know, it's all about competition, right? If you're willing to take a loss on a product, you should be able to do that as a loss leader. And if you're paying $10 for something wholesale and it costs, and the manufacturer is requesting that you charge $15 for it, and that's what you have to post, well, now you should be able to put $11 on it if that's what you want to charge for it and only make a dollar. So time will tell on how this is going to fall out. But any of you in retail, how's this going to affect retail? Love to hear your comments and your thoughts on how this is going to affect retail prices. All right, I follow the torrent scene pretty heavily just to, you know, watch what's going on with, you know, different legal actions and different new applications that are coming out. But there's a good article over on Torrent Freak talking about BitTorrent survival, the way of the Hydra. And there's some concern within the torrent community that because of its popularity and the way it's growing at an amazing rate, they're worried that sites like Mininova and Pirate Bay, who I guess are enjoying just huge levels of traffic, are the torrent communities at risk because those two sites make up more than 50% of all public torrents. So essentially, they're worried that they're putting all their fruit in one basket, and that if these two sites were taken down tomorrow, that the progress that's been made on expansion of BitTorrent would just, you know, would collapse. Now, while much of that traffic, I'm sure, is moving material that shouldn't be moved, there's a lot of legitimate material being moved via those sites as well. Podcasters are moving content. People are sharing their media, media I create here on videos from time to time. So what do you think? Do you think that there needs to be a more spread out number of sites that are doing torrent tracking? Their thought is that there needs to be more sites that are niche sites. So, you know, just like Blueberry is a podcasting community, it's a very niche site that has video and audio podcast on it. They believe there should be torrent tracker sites that would be maybe like a podcaster's torrent tracking site or something to that effect. And that's all they do, and that's all the media that they allow on that site in order to spread this out so that in case sites like LokiTorrent and Elitetorrents, who stood no chance against the MPAA and RIAA, when they got took down, you know, there really wasn't a big impact because they were pretty small. But, they've tried to take down the Pirate Bay once before, and they actually, you know, they did take it down, but it, you know, within a few days, they were back up and running. But I just wonder how long that's going to last, or how long before ISPs in the United States start cooperating with the MPAA and start blocking at the ISP level access to those sites. And that could very well happen. And just think, you know, it's, you know, all they need is a few to do it. And what will happen is that ISPs will be justified, and plus there'll be silent relief because they're going to be able to regain some bandwidth. All right, you know those two rovers we got out on Mars? You know they're still going, right? Well, it's showtime for the NASA Mars Rover Opportunity, as it is scheduled to begin a descent down a rock-paved slope into the Red Planet's massive Victoria crater. And they think this is the highest risk thing that this rover has done. And they've been driving all around the crater, exploring it to make sure they're ready to go. And now they are they're getting ready to take the dive here and see how it's gonna work out. Now, the issue with this is as it goes down deeper in the crater, and it has to go down a slope of 15 to 20 degrees. And if you think about that, that's a pretty good slope for a little rover. And with, you know, the Opportunity has all of its six wheels are working, so that's a good thing. And, you know, Spirit lost one of its wheels, so hopefully with Opportunity having all six wheels going, we'll be okay. But they're going to go down in there, and with the being down in the crater, there may be some times when they're not going to get as much sunlight on the rover itself. So they hope to get down, do their science, and get out. That's the goal. Now, I don't know how long they plan to be down there, but hey, you know, though that's money was well spent, wasn't it? Those rovers are still going strong and collecting data. So I think we've got, how long has it been? 30? It's been, I think, 30 months or more, or three. How long's the rover's been going? That is the question here. I don't even remember when they actually first landed on Mars. It's been, what, 3 years now? A little over 3 years? So good on the NASA team and JPL. Now, how many of you have an Xbox 360? How many of you have had to have your Xbox 360 replaced because something happened to it? How would you like to be a guy that's went through 11 Xbox 360s? He really likes his 360, it says, which is probably a good thing since he sent 11 of them back to Microsoft. He's now on his 12th. This is amazing. Here's the list of problems he's had. 3 red lights of death, 2 with disk read errors, 2 dead on arrival, several with random audio and video related issues, and 1 that actually exploding. And then he makes, this is an amazing comment here. Looking at the situation, though, Moore's own standard, how has Microsoft performed? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd rate them at 8. Oh, gosh. Amazing. He actually rates them still an 8 out of 10, even though he's on his 12th Xbox 360. That's shocking. No, I don't have an Xbox in the house. How many of you have went through more than one? All right, those of you that are Logitech Quick Cam fans, Logitech has introduced the Quick Cam Pro 9000 and a notebook webcam, bringing Carl Zeiss glass to the cameras. Carl, this, you know, those, I've got one camera here. Let me look at it. Let's see, has this got that nice glass? No, it doesn't say if it does or doesn't. But I had recently bought another laptop only cam, one that would work on my laptop better. And, gosh, but I knew this was coming, these were coming out, I went and bought it. But anyway, they're available for $100, and they're the Quick Cam Pro 9000 and Quick Cam Pro for notebooks. And, they're going to be able to give you a two megapixel sensor on this, and be able to do 30 frames per second at 960 by 720 pixels, compatible with Skype and all other popular video, software, including Ustream.com. All right, got a challenge out there. Any programmers out there? I know we got one that's getting ready to go on vacation. And I almost don't even want to say this on the show because someone else is going to go out and do it. I'm hesitant to even talk about this article, but because it is on a website that everyone can see, over on GigaOhm.com, he's talking about an application called Jaman, J-A-M-A-N, which is now playing on the Apple TV. Now, for those of you that have an Apple TV, you know you can watch YouTube videos. And we were playing around with it this past weekend and actually looked at some YouTube videos on it. And some of them were horrible. I mean, flat out horrendous. Some of them were actually pretty good. Well, Jaman, this company, wrote their own application to be able to get this plugged into the Apple TV. Well, here's what I'm looking for. Raw Voice on all of our properties at Tech Podcast, Podcaster News, Blueberry.com, and PodcastPromos.com, we have OPML list for those sites and multiple they're by category, full list loads, the whole nine yards. I would be very willing to pay a cash reward for someone that could come up with the plug-in of sorts that would work on the Apple TV to get Raw Voice's properties up on an Apple TV. Now, this would be an unofficial deal. I would not ever tell anyone who actually developed it unless they wanted to. And supposedly, the instructions on how to do it are on the internet somewhere. Is anyone up to the challenge? I'd love to have someone do this and make this available. Nothing better than being able to just use the you know, the Apple TV remote and scroll through and find different podcasts that would be preloaded within the actual interface itself. Very, very cool. Anybody want to help me out here? I know there's a couple programmers got some extra time. I don't know what it would take to build this. Let me know what it would take. I'm willing to pay. Remember Feedster? It's back. And it looks really different. And if you have never used Feedster before, it's kind of was a, they competed with Technorati before. And I'm not really 100% sure I can trust them yet, whether or not they're going to go away in 3 weeks. What really happened before was they had some problems within management, and the it ended up they went bye-bye because of internal, and I don't know if there was funding issues or not, but they've come back, and they are now providing widgets. And while I'm not real big on putting the widget they have on my website, I was very curious to see how their searches worked. And, you know, it's essentially vanity searches. I search for my name. I search for other people's names. I search for company names. And, you know, I want to see what people are doing in the space, and I do a lot of tracking that way. And if I look at my custom feed that I have built here in FeedDemon, which I have never shared with anyone because it's grown over the years, I've got about 500 custom searches that I built for this that are on Google Blog, Ice Rocket, Technorati, and there used to be a whole column for Feedster. So I did went over to Feedster, I played around, and boy, they got some work to do because it's not the old Feedster. A lot of spam sites. Some of the material was old. I guess we'll have to see what happens here. But it's back. And if you're a Feedster fan, go over and check out Feedster at Feedster.com. They're at the same old playing place. And a whole new look, though. It's kind of an interesting website look. They did a great job on the design. I just hope the back end works as well as it used to. All right, a little bit of a reality check within Silicon Valley. You know, Facebook has really exploded, and there's been a lot of people that have started some startups to develop plugins for Facebook. And the truth of Facebook is starting to sink in, and it says that there are a total of 1,131 apps. Of the last 500 to be approved, only 5 of those apps have over 100,000 members, and none have over 200,000. And he says it's not as if there are a lot of apps close to 100,000. In fact, there are only 5 apps within the last 500 to have been added that have 10,000 to 100,000 members. That means fully 489 of the last 500 apps to be approved have fewer than 10,000 members. Well, I think that's not shouldn't be surprising. But what's happening here is people are doing startups, and they're developing Facebook apps, hoping that they can get, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people using the plugin, and then, you know, be able to take those numbers, the viral growth of that, and take it and get money. You know, getting money on someone else's platform is kind of the new way people are making cash these days. But the growth rate's not there. And while I'm not surprised, it makes me wonder how long those types of startups are going to last, being that you know, the growth rate isn't there for them. You know, sucky apps suck. That's just the simple fact of the nature, but time will tell on those. All right, Space Today is announcing that a converted Russian ICBM successfully launched a prototype of an inflatable commercial habitat on Thursday. This is pretty cool. It put the spacecraft in a low Earth orbit, and checked the module, and it confirmed that it inflated and its solar panels are deployed. And this is the first experimental spacecraft, very, very cool. So we'll see what happens with this. And it just goes to show you commercial stuff is happening. It's making a move here to do all kinds of cool stuff with new space projects. And all right, I think that's, you know, short show tonight. I've got a couple things that I guess I could talk about. One thing I saw was some stuff going on at the Wall Street Journal with Robert Murdoch considering to buy that media company. A little bit of infighting going on with the people at the news desk, essentially showing up late today. And it just goes to show you that there continues to be a condensing of the news reporting base in the United States and I guess throughout the world. So we need to all be aware of that and continue to promote new media. Also, the guy that was sitting in line outside the Apple store in New York City, he's got a new nickname. They're calling him iLoser. And no one's yet been able to explain what this guy does for a living, how he makes his money, or how he can be a career sit-in-line person. And they don't even know if he's actually going to go buy an iPod. But he made news today because supposedly he got kicked out of the line or got kicked out of the Apple store when he went in there to wash his face or something. I don't know. But anyway, great representation for Apple in New York for the first guy in line. All right, let me go ahead and get into the audio comments. And we're going to give a gift certificate away here. And I'm just going to go, and I haven't even listened to these. So I'm going to pick the randomly now. There's three voicemails. I'm going to pick the second one in the stack. So there was good odds tonight to win, folks. So let me go ahead and play the these audio comments. We'll get into some email at the end. But doing good on time here. I want to get down to the Apple Store. Apologize for the short show. But hopefully we have some good content for you to kind of feast your eyes on over the next couple of days on what happened down there. So let's get into the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd. This is Mark Phillips. I'm calling from just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So we're in the Philadelphia radio market. I'm calling based on some comments on the last show about the effects of the sound of silence. I think it was a joke. I don't think sound of silence had any effect on anything. It certainly didn't have any effect on me or a lot of the people that I work with and know. We're all big podcast listeners. And when we do listen to the radio, we actually listen to like talk radio or like news, like a news station. And those stations actually, because they're producing their own content, their streaming stuff was unaffected by this thing. So again, I think the sound of silence thing is very ineffective. Love your show. Keep up the great work. I'll keep listening. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thanks. And yeah, you know, not a lot of, a little bit of buzz. I was watching what was going on within the actual, on Technorati during the actual day of silence. And I was hoping to, see a little bit more reaction, but kind of on the website, it was a semi-non-event reporting-wise. I don't know what happened in D.C. I don't know if people actually called their congressional representative or not. I've got a prediction here. I predict Congress isn't going to do nothing, and I think July 15th is going to be a day of reckoning for a streaming media. Aren't you glad you're podcast listeners and you're not beholden to having to listen to streams? You got to be able to consume the media you want to consume and not have to listen to some top 40 streaming station. Thanks for the comment. And here's the next one. Here's our actual $50 gift certificate winner tonight.
Hey, Todd, it's John with in Lakewood.
Hey, John, congratulations.
Here I'm calling to comment about the Day of Silence. I think it was a great idea, but everybody that I know that listened to streaming audio just switched to another media. They either listen to iTunes, they listen to the radio, they listen to the CD. So I don't think it was as big an impact. I agree with your original post of a couple days ago that a week would have been better. But, no, I think it's tough. I think that what the RIAA and even what the Motion Picture Association are doing are bad things. I think that we ought to be able to look at our media anywhere. So that's my two cents on the Day of Silence. my father has a sling box, and he listens to streaming audio, and he just had to switch over to something else. So I don't think it was that big a deal. I'm not sure that the point will be sent to the RIAA. So that's my point on that. Love the pod show, and I've got some other points, but I will talk to you about those in another message. Okay, bye.
Oh, don't say pod show on this show. Did you hear that? I know it was a simple mistake, but kind of funny. All right, let's see what else. I know that he sent in two voicemails, so this must be the other one. Hang on.
Hey, Todd, it's John from Lakewood again. First off, I want to say I hope your family's doing really well. We haven't heard much about them in the last couple of weeks.
Well, let me comment on that real quick. My sister and her husband and the kids all have moved to Virginia, so they are now in their new home. And my mom is officially on her own for the first time since my father's death. And for those of you that are new to the show, a little less than what is today's date? We're the 28th. So 10 months ago today, my father was killed in an automobile accident. And my niece was with him. She was severely injured, and she was in the hospital intensive care, I guess, for 90 some days. She actually had, she had a decapitation without actually being decapitated. I guess that's, I lose the actual word that they actually call it. But she went through, I think, 11 operations. The last one was on her kidney. Remarkable. She's done a remarkable job in recovering. She has a long, 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 long way to go. But my sister was with my mom in Michigan when that happened. And so it was a, she basically, they didn't, they were supposed to be on their way to Virginia a couple of weeks later, but that changed everything. So they're doing great, and I've been talking to my mom essentially every day and basically checking on her and seeing how she's doing. And essentially, she's kind of got a chance to breathe, because it's been nonstop taking care of my niece, and it's been a lot of stuff that's kind of went by the wayside. So she's now in, you know, cleaning the house and catching up on all the stuff she hasn't been able to get caught up on over the past 10 months. And her podcast, we do one every 2-3 weeks. I think the last one was 5 weeks of separation over at sherrycast.com. And if anyone ever goes over there to listen to that show, make sure you listen to the complete podcast, starting at number one and work your way through. I know there's a lot of shows to listen to, but it won't make sense unless you listen to them in sequence. Let me go ahead and continue the rest of this voicemail. Hopefully I didn't mess this up. Let's see what happens here.
But I hope that your niece and your mom's podcast is really going well. So that's about that. The other thing I wanted to say was about all this RIAA and encryption and the Motion Picture Association. I just got a couple of DVDs that we can watch in our DVD player, but I can't watch them in Windows. Now, that's not really a big deal for me, because my laptop runs Linux and my server runs Linux. I do have a desktop that I have up and running, and it runs Windows. And I thought, hey, well, I'm doing some work on my laptop. It'd be nice to listen to episodes of Lost, and threw them into my Windows machine and proceeded to launch my various different players, and none of them would play Lost. So I switched over to Linux to see if it would play, and sure enough, played Linux just fine. So it's interesting. I think that I ought to be able to watch wherever I am. I don't have a TV in my office, but I do have a bunch of computers, and I ought to be able to watch what I want to watch when and where. We did buy the CDs or the DVDs, so, you know, and I'm not copying them or doing any of that stuff. I just wanted to watch it. Anyway, I think that's all a sham. That's my 2 cents on that. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for calling. And I tell you, it is a, you know, it is a sad day when you buy a product, you pay your hard-earned cash. You know, let's be very, very frank here. You go out and spend your hard-earned dollar. You know, you work hard for that. Whatever you get paid an hour, whatever you get paid at your job, it doesn't matter. That $20 that you pay for that DVD, you know, that's still $20 that's out of your pocket. And you bring that home and you play it in your, you know, in your DVD player. It's, you know, and it plays. It's all good. But you take that thing and you put it in a computer and you, let's say you're in the car and you want to watch it while you're traveling and it won't play. You know, there is something criminally wrong with that. You know, that just, it just, doesn't that just make you just want to scream? And they wonder why DVD and CD sales are down. They wonder. It just irritates me. It really, really does. But anyway, congratulations, John, on the $50 gift certificate. I think what we're going to do, because things are crazy this weekend for me, is we're going to skip Tuesday. So there's going to be no prize giveaway on the next show. But we'll have something big, something really big on the following Friday show. But you're going to have to listen on Tuesday. You're definitely going to have to listen to Tuesday to win for Friday. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the email comments. And, of course, always send your comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 or geeknews@gmail.com. Got an email from Bree. Bree is a longtime listener of the show, frequent commenter. Thanks for sending the email, Bree. She said, "Hey, Todd. Yep, definitely CD use is down, but they are great for big video use. Too long for conversion to flash and sending to website. For example, graduation parties and retirement luncheons. Says, I just tape them and download the whole thing onto a PC and then dump them to CD, then mail the CD to interested parties. By the way, I have noticed that many of the tech podcasts are increasingly turning to Mac stuff, apps, extension, news, etc. Just maybe a change is happening. I don't know if I can afford one. My job buys all my laptops, all Windows, home, and office use. But definitely starting to feel left behind as a lifelong PC Windows user. I'll see you later, Bree." Bree, you know what? Today, when I was at the two computer stores looking for a UMPC device, you know, I went and they had a whole bunch of laptops there that were $500, $600. They were, you know, a low-end, good, decent laptop running Vista Home. And I sit there looking at them, and I've already got a couple of laptops in the house. And I'm thinking, how can I justify this? You know, I want to be able to go more portable with this Ustream stuff, but is it worth the money? You know, am I going to go home and regret this, buying this machine? And I walked over, and they had a Mac section, and I looked at the Mac laptops over there, and even their cheapest one wasn't even close to the cheapest PC laptop. And so it didn't even come to a consideration of buying that. But in all honesty, you know, today I spend 90% of my time on the PC, on a Windows PC. Because all my apps and all the stuff I've, you know, invested so much money into over the years is there. All the tools that I need work the way I want it to work on my PC. And what I use my Mac for, I use it strictly for video editing. That's all I use it for. Tonight I'll use it to do this little Ustream thing, but either machine will do that just fine. So what do I have my Life on TV running? I got it running that old Mac Mini that I've got. Does a great job. Works fine. So don't feel like you're feeling left behind. Don't. I think that what's going to happen here, and someone alluded to it in a different venue that I saw, was that you notice Microsoft not talking about their next operating system. They've kind of shut up. I think they've learned their lesson from Vista. I think when we see the next, again, I don't know when it's going to be, but I think when we see the next release of whatever Windows is going to be pushing down the pike, I think I'm really hoping that they've taken a few notes here. Now, they didn't take any notes on the Zune, obviously, but we'll see. And I'm not going to abandon my PCs. Nope, no way. But when it comes to doing video, I definitely like the tools better. And again, I've decided to invest that way with software and everything else. If you're already invested in software to do video editing on your PC, it does it just fine. It just depends on what you want to do. That's all it really is. And so you know, what do I have? I've got the MacBook Pro that does the video stuff. I have the Mini that I bought originally to, you know, support writing the book I did on podcasting. And the rest of the machines in this house are PCs. And I really wouldn't. The only thing I would consider buying another Mac is maybe the Mac Pro with all the high-end graphics card and a lot of RAM and the quad processor and, you know, all this stuff to be able to do rendering of video. But otherwise, I don't know. I just haven't had to make the switch. Not saying anything is bad about those applications. Not saying that at all. And I know many of you are in the same position. But you look at the price. Just look at the price of PCs today. And you look at the price of Macs. Whew. It's still a huge difference. I got an email from VG. And it talks about how you can get your phone number removed from Google. And I'm going to have this link up to this in the show notes. So if you want your phone number removed, supposedly this will happen. Maybe this was spam. I don't know. It looks, I got it with a bunch of other people, but he's got a link here on how you can do that, how you can get your number blocked on Google. Got an email from Tracy, and he linked me to a TechCrunch link to NebuAd is a company that's providing a software for ad insertion. I'm going to check that out. And this is from, remember we talked on the last show about the ISP that is inserting ads on people's web pages. Let me load this up here real quick. And let me talk about this a little deeper. We got plenty of time tonight because I finished early. But article on this TechCrunch article says, Real Evil, ISP Inserted Advertising. It's a Texas-based ISP called RedMoon, and it's implemented software that hijacks pages being visited by the companies by replacing RedMoon's own ads on these pages. Do we have any listeners in Texas that is a RedMoon customer? Please, 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 please call the hotline. It's 619-342-7365. I want to hear from you. I really, really do. Someone's got to have a friend that is in Texas on the ISP RedMoon. And what I would love for you to do is go to geeknewscentral.com, go to blueberry.com, Raw Voice, all our properties, and do a screenshot of what's on those pages. Because I want to see if this company is inserting their own advertising on these pages. This is really, really, really evil. These are not pop-ups. These are ads that are, inserted by the ISP in replacement of ads that are on websites. Not good. So I want to thank, Tracy for sending me that link. Definitely appreciate it. All right, got an email from John. He said, PR. I'm going to skip this one. Actually, John had sent me an invitation to come to a live webcast of a Windows Secret story. So I think this is already out online. I haven't seen it yet, but you can go over to Windows Secret. Actually, I got the link in the bottom of the show notes. I'll put that in the listener links. Got an email from Mike. He said, hey, here's an article from a local TV station about the local college radio station in the Day of Silence. I'm talking about how the rate hikes affects more than internet radio stations. Thank Mike for that. Got an email from Scott. He says, the hunter becomes the hunted. Finally, somebody sues the RAAA. We talked about this on the last show. Thanks for that, Scott. I'll put it up in the show notes anyway. Got an email from Mike. He says, hey, I know Final Cut Pro is expensive, but there's Final Cut Express, which appears to come with Soundtrack 1.5. Mike already upgraded to Final Cut Pro 2, and I had Final Cut Express before, so thanks for the recommendation. Got an email from Glenn. He says, hey, Todd, you had a comment in your last show about a person who tried to get Google to update their satellite image for his area during a specific event. He must have been nuts. I moved into my new house 2 years ago, and the Google satellite image still shows it just as a vacant lot with a slightly older homes, those being 2.5 years old as the only ones up in the area. Great show. Keep up the work. And you're right. It's been a long time. Got an email from Kevin and Janan from show. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Hey, I was thinking about the two stories you had mentioned in your podcast about two guys waiting for 100 hours in the line for an iPhone and the car tint. Maybe these guys could use a car tint. Why, yes, they could. He says, oh, by the way, I just purchased my first .com name from GoDaddy. My oldest son does a family newsletter online, and I use the code word Todd to save 10% on your purchase. Thank you for sharing that discount code with the listeners. These days, every little bit helps. Sincerely, Kevin, and he's out in Oregon. Hey, yes, it does. Every cent counts. Anytime you don't have to give money to somebody, that's a bonus, right? Or you got an email from Wendy, and wait to see this picture, folks. It's a picture of the International Space Station from the ground. Awesome picture, really, really is. Got an email from Jafar, and this one here I need you guys to really listen to. All the geeks out there, listen up. Hi, I'd like to thank you for your show. I love your podcast. I think this is one of the best tech podcasts I've ever subscribed. I have two questions today. Well, thank you, first of all, for the comment. I definitely appreciate that, Jafar. Question one, I have multiple OSs in my laptop, Win XP Home, XP Pro, 98, and Ubuntu. Recently, I deleted all my OS and want to use XP Home and Linux, but when I boot up, I get a bootloader showing me to choose Linux or Windows. If I choose Windows, then the bootloader asks me to choose XP Pro, XP Home, etc. I just need to see Linux and XP Home, not the list of my deleted OSs. I tried boot.ini, but couldn't see any difference. So the question he has here is, how's he get rid of that? Where's that edited at? And, you know, I haven't done a multi-boot system in years. Someone out there is going to know this answer. So if we can help Jafar out, I'd appreciate it. He says, second of all, I'm going to run XP under Linux using VMware. Do I need to install any anti-spyware / antivirus programs under virtual WinXP? Your help will be greatly appreciated. Well, I'm sure we're going to get some help on that, Jafar. We'll see what everyone has to say. Two great questions. Hopefully, we'll get two great answers. Okay, last comment tonight. And I do want to thank Matthew from Melbourne for sending this in and plugging me in his blog. He said, Todd, I was interested in your comments on how some marketing is being conducted in blogs recently, particularly around Microsoft trying to make their bad marketing look good marketing. It is always disappointing to see this. As usual, the unprofessional and shortcutters will ruin a great marketing opportunity for everyone else. I wrote an entry on this in my Sometimes blog recently, so rather than send a long email, I think I'll link it to you so you can read only if you are interested, and I did read it. Thank you. He says, I believe that yourself and Doug Kay are two of the very few media people that truly get what is required for the long-term success in this field. Your approach may not have the flash of some of the others and will consequently not get as much hype and growth. He said, the myriad strategic and most important interactive approach will make for a much stronger company and will retain listeners you gain rather than a quick rise preceding a fall as the fickle assault moves on. Long tails, my friend, still enjoying every podcast, Matthew in Melbourne. Thank you for those kind words. Definitely appreciate it. And thank you for your write-up in on your website. And I definitely, definitely appreciate it. And yes, we don't talk no hype. We do. We walk the walk. All right, folks. Wow. I'm in hour two. Guess what? It's short. Let's get out of here. All right, everyone, take care. I'm going to go to the Apple store and see what they're up to. So I know you're not going to be able to get the show by the time I'm over there, and I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be in bed. But check us out once in a while, mylifeonline.tv, of course, geeknewscentral.com. And don't forget to send your favorite podcaster an email reminder to tell his audience to nominate their shows at podcastawards.com. Everyone, take care. Have a great weekend. Aloha.